I have worked for some terrible bosses. One guy got mad that I didn't stay in town for a Category 5 hurricane. And then, like, no appreciation when I came back. It took me like 10 hours to make the 4-hour drive back. And I lived in my apartment by myself. No electricity, no running water, no appreciation at all that I came back earlier than everybody else. I had another boss who hired me for a job that I was not qualified for. And then every time I asked for help, she was like, no, or like would pawn me off on somebody else. And then one time I had a boss who was not qualified and I was working at the bank and she made an error in filling the cash machines that looked like she stole $53,000 and then tried to blame it on me that I couldn't fix it. Like, I'm sure you have these kind of horror stories too. So let's dive in.
Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life, creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully, and in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD.
When you know how to stay calm, your child's meltdown over a missing holiday party number 4 will not bother you. Or your tween rolling their eyes and mumbling choice words at you can just roll off your back and you're able to respond firmly and lovingly because you're in control of your emotions. Here's a heads up that next week I am opening an early bird registration for my Lighthouse Group ADHD coaching for the first group that's happening in 2024. I'm only sharing that with the waitlist for now, and it's a small group. So if this is something that you need, please hop on the waitlist so that you can get your spot next week. Because when you're feeling overwhelmed and you have too much to do and you're already dreading the holidays and you're like, oh, there's so much coming, how am I going to keep up with it? Like, I want you to know that after the holidays are over, the kids are back in school, mid-January, things are finally starting to feel a little bit calmer, that you're going to be able to hit the ground running and get your life together, get your emotions in control, and start to build that life that you really want to live. So again, I'm only sharing this with the waitlist, so go ahead and add your name on there. It's patriciasung.com/group-waitlist. Then I will send you all the details next week. And if you're not sure, go ahead and put your name on the list. If there's any spots open come January, like I'll open up for everyone, but you are going to learn the skills that you wish you had growing up in order to make adulting easier as somebody with ADHD. And I want you to be able to teach your kids how to live well with ADHD too. So come join me for the next round of group coaching starting February 1st, 2024. And put your name on the waitlist, patriciasung.com/group-waitlist. And we're going to get ourselves together in the new year, mama.
Before we dive into this week's episode, let's read our review of the week. This one's from Noelle. I feel so seen. 5 stars. This podcast has been amazing for me. I am an undiagnosed mom with ADHD that is 37 years old, and just listening to all of these things on this podcast have made me feel so seen and understood. It's also helped me feel more confident about myself and that I'm not just a hot mess. Even the intro saying, spoiler alert, you are already a great mom, just almost brings me to tears every time I listen to the podcast. Well, I am very glad that you are here, Noelle, because we need to hear that. I need to hear it too. And if you want to come and just listen to the intro on repeat, you go ahead, ma'am. Because you are a great mom, because you're trying and you're doing your best. And that's all we can do for our kids is try our best, keep on trekking, and we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. If you have not yet rated the podcast, mama, please head over to your app, hit 5 stars, and let me know what you think.
All right, so when we work for a bad boss, it is all encompassing. Like, there are so many issues that come with working for a terrible boss. And there's times like you don't understand what's going on. It feels unfair. You don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. Like, you don't want to talk to those people. You feel like you keep trying, it never goes right. Like, No matter what you do, things aren't coming together. And it's really frustrating when you know, like, there's nothing you can do about it as a subordinate. Like, you just have to deal when your boss is not great or you find another job. Like, obviously, we wish bosses had more instruction and, like, better training. And that's something you can do. Like, as a supervisor, you can go to training classes, you can get certifications, like, you can learn how to be a better boss. But a lot of times, like, when we're a parent, we're like, I feel like I'm just supposed to magically know how to be a good parent. Like, nobody gave me an instruction manual when my kid showed up. Like, you can feel super underqualified in being a parent. And, like, all the training is just, like, on the job. You figure it out. And I want you to know, like, it is okay to ask for help as a parent. Like, it's okay to get training as a parent. Because I had this epiphany the other day of, like, I don't want my kids to feel like they have a bad boss. I don't want my partner to feel that the person running the house is underqualified. I don't want my family to feel like I don't understand them. I don't want them to feel like life's unfair. I don't want them to be like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to come downstairs. I don't want to talk to them. They don't want to talk to me. That, like, I don't want my kids to feel like they're trying and it's never right, or that my husband feels like he keeps trying and it's never right. Like, is volatile mom going to yell at me today? Like, I don't want my family to feel like I felt with those ridiculous bosses. And that's what's helped me know, like, it's okay for me to ask for help. It is okay for me to take care of me so that I can take care of them. We are not required to just know how to do stuff, know how to parent. Like, yes, and they tell you, people always be like, oh, it's the most natural thing in the whole world. No, it's not. I don't know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing either. Let's not pretend. Like, I need help. You need help. I need support. You need support. It is okay for us to ask for help and get support in, like, learning how to run our family well, how to be a parent. Like, it is okay to ask for help. Everything that I do ripples out into my family, into my friends, into my relationship, into my job. And every time my cup is filled means that I can do more for others than I can do with an empty cup. As moms, we do whatever we can for our families, even when we don't have anything, like, basically until we can't go anymore. Like, it's like, I had this sinus infection for like 2 weeks before I went and got help. Cause I'm like, no, my body's gonna fight it. It's gonna be fine. Like, I don't know where, I don't know why I was being delusional, because sinus infections are the one thing that take me down every year. Except I forgot. Haven't gotten one through the whole panini, and here I am. I'm like, oh, I'm good. Like, it's fine. My body's healed. I'm so strong now. Oh, no. Sinus infection still took me down. And I kept taking care of everybody else, taking care of my business, doing all the things, thinking that, like, my body could do it. And without me, like, making significant changes. Like, yes, I was doing things to take care of myself more than I normally do. But, like, I didn't double down and, like, be like, hey, how do I get better? I was trying to juggle all the things. But, like, our families know when we're serving out of empty bowls. They know when we're having a bad day. They know, like, even we don't have to tell them. Like, they can tell things are up. Like, they might not be able to say, like, my mom's having a bad day. Like, they know when we're struggling because they feel it. And I can think of so many of my friends who were raised by single parents, and they're like, my mom worked two jobs and did whatever she could. Like, she worked so hard, like, to give us everything we needed. And, like, kids know that their mom sacrificed a lot. Kids know that, like, their immigrant parents, you know, worked their tails off to get where they are. Like, whatever your situation was that your parent was struggling in, like, you knew that they were sacrificing, even if you didn't understand, like, the full scope of it. And maybe we couldn't put it all into words, but, like, we knew our parents were sacrificing. We knew that they were struggling. And, like, yet somehow, like, we sometimes think that, like, we can hide these things from our kids. And I'm like, yeah, we could keep that up for a while. But, like, at some point, either we start to resent them, like, we start doing it begrudgingly and we feel like we're not appreciated, or we start sacrificing our sleep or our health, even if we don't have any, like, ill will about it. Like,
before we continue on, I want to say thank you to our sponsors whose support allows me to bring you this podcast for free. I have reduced the mental load as a mom by using the Skylight calendar. Over the last few months, it has been in our kitchen with adorable pictures of our family and our family calendar. So this keeps me from being the gatekeeper. I love that it is visual, color-coded. There's a chore chart with emojis for kids who are still learning how to read. The app is super convenient, and you also have the option to connect it to your digital calendar. This has been a game changer for us to all stay on the same page and avoid those unfortunate miscommunications that happen. As a special offer, you get 10% off your purchase when you use the code Patricia at skylightcal.com and get your very own digital calendar frame. That's skylightcal.com and the promo code Patricia to save.
But like, if you don't have anything left to give, you don't have anything left to give. And we love them so much that we keep doing it. But like, to what end? At what point are we going to stop and say, hey, I got to take care of myself, or I won't have anything left to care for other people? At what point am I going to admit, hey, I'm sick and I can't do all the things anymore, and I'm going to buckle down and get myself healthy? P.S. It was like 3 weeks in. What if it didn't have to be that way? Like, what if we could serve from a full tray? I think this is one of the things that stood out to me the most at the retreat last month, was that two of the moms had told me like how much better care they take of themselves now after they had been to the first retreat, like how much happier they are and how their family is doing significantly better. Their relationship is doing significantly better. They have shared these things with their friends. Like, it has rippled out into so much more than them just taking care of themselves. So like, both of them, their husbands were like, go, we'll figure it out, make it happen, because they saw the difference in how they were different when they came back from the retreat. There's so many times where we think like taking care of ourselves is selfish and we feel guilty about it. And like, we forget that we are part of the family and we forget that our well-being matters, and we think we can cover it up and that like, yeah, sure, that worked for a while, but like at some point it runs out. Like, us taking care of ourselves matters so much. And like, I've talked to you before about how my husband and I have been doing marriage counseling, and highly recommend if you're struggling in your marriage or even things are just kind of bumpy, like I recommend talking to somebody else. Like, it just helps so much when you both have this like objective third party, because it helps you realize how much like what you're doing is very common or is like not great. Like, you just start to put up with things because they're there, and like, you're like, oh, no, you got to deal with this. This is not okay. Like, sometimes those things are also the things that are common. But it's like having that outside perspective, which actually we're going to talk about perspectives next week. Like, having that fresh outside perspective like matters so much in your relationship. And I want to give the disclaimer too of like, my advice is talking about like when you are in a good relationship, not somebody who is narcissistic or abusive. Like, that, you need different advice for that. Like, I'm talking about like if you're in a pretty good relationship that just needs a lot of support, like getting like outside help to work through that is very helpful. You know, we were talking last month about one of those like same old fights that we have all the time. And this is the one where like, he's annoyed about something or frustrated or something, and I immediately assume that he's angry with me, which means I get defensive right away. And then he does get angry because I'm being so defensive, and then I start like coming on the offensive, and like then he gets mad, and then all goes downhill, and then I'm like, see, you are mad. And he's like, well, you made me mad. And like, I'm sure you have fights like that where you're like, it's the same fight we've had umpteen times for how many years. Like, we're trying to work through this same old fight so we don't keep having it. And while we're working through this discussion, our counselor looks at me and he's like, are you coming to the conversation with the base level that Dominic loves you and wants the best for you? And I just sat there really quiet for way too long, honestly, because I scared Dominic and my counselor. Because what I realized in my head is like, all like the pieces were shifting into place of like, wait a second, like, I logically know this. I know that he loves me and I know that he wants the best for me. Like, how I'm responding emotionally doesn't actually reflect that. Like, the way that I'm responding in the moment emotionally is he's mad at me and now I'm defensive and angry back at him for being mad at me. And like, at the time he was asking me this, it was like my head was like exploding, realizing that like the two things weren't lining up. Like, what I logically knew and what I was emotionally doing did not make sense. And I was so confused because I'm like, I have worked so hard, like in therapy, and we were doing counseling. Like, I'm like, I'm doing all the things to work on myself and our relationship. And I've worked so hard in like working through RSD or rejection sensitivity dysphoria, like that physical pain that comes with criticism. And I'm like, I feel like I've come so far, and yet I didn't see how it was showing up in this way. And I think this is something that a lot of us struggle with, is that the way that RSD shows up in relationships is that I assume he's going to be mad at me every time something goes wrong. I always assume the worst and that something bad's going to happen instead of assuming that it might be okay. And like, my brain and your brain too looks for evidence to support that. What do you do when you're really struggling to calm down? When you're dysregulated and your brain is offline? When Medusa Mom is about to rear her ugly head and you don't want to yell at your kids again, but you also desperately need some time and space to yourself? Well, you're in luck, Mama, because I've got a free video resource waiting for you. I'm sharing my top 10 tips for what to do when you're losing your cool and you need a reset. Each of these things you can do in under a minute with no fancy prep, so that you can calm down enough to make a different choice than exploding like a volcano on everybody in the vicinity. Now, since it's a video, you can watch what I do for easier practice, and of course, there's audio plus captions to read it. I also have a little cheat sheet underneath of all the ideas, so you can grab that list, stick it in your phone somewhere, so that on the time where you're like totally freaking out, you can go to that list and quickly pick the idea that's going to help you calm down in that moment. Head over to patriciasung.com/calm, that's C-A-L-M, and download your free video on how you can keep your cool when you're overwhelmed. That's patriciasung.com/calm. Because you can learn how to take care of yourself so that you can take care of your family. So like when I am worried, like, oh, he's mad at me, my brain immediately pulls up that time he was mad at me and shows the evidence of like, look, he was mad at you this time. And my brain doesn't pull up the times that he wasn't mad at me. Like my brain is looking for evidence so that it's right. Which, I mean, lovely brain, thanks for helping, but also not helpful here. Like, when you always assume that they know better than you, you always assume that they're going to be mad at you when you messed up. If you always assume that, like, they're going to make you feel bad about the thing you did and use it against it, like, either you have a really awful partner or your brain is trying to protect you from something that doesn't always happen. And this is a place where, like, I mean, I'm not even getting my soapbox about RSD versus trauma response and all that, because that's a whole nother episode. But like in those times where I assume he's going to be mad at me, I then make all my decisions super fast, jumping to conclusions I'm not even aware of and making the problem worse than it was, instead of giving him the benefit of the doubt and coming at it from the base of he loves me and he wants the best for me. So like, right now, like every time there's a problem, it's my job to be like, are you mad at me? Because I need to reinforce with my brain that he's not always mad at me. Yes, sometimes he is mad at me, but most of the time he is not. And being able to make this perspective shift of coming at it with not only what my brain logically knows, but emotionally coming at it from, I know that he loves me and wants the best for me, has massively shifted the way that we interact with each other. I've done a lot of things to work on this, but like I think back through doing my inner child work in therapy of like, you know, at first we started like dealing with perfectionist me, which to me was like, you know, I'm about 16 and like who's trying to just not mess up anything and trying to smooth everything over. And like if everything's perfect, we don't have any problems. And like you'll see this show up in imposter syndrome a lot is this perfectionism of like, if I just don't mess up, then I won't have a problem. Then it was like we're working on like 9-year-old me who's like when things go wrong is really sad and confused and hurt and like bewildered of like, how did I mess this up? Like I thought I was doing the right thing and like so eager and trying so hard to do right. And like it's like this crushed spirit of like, this is how like a lot of us end up giving up and just not trying anymore because it doesn't feel like, you know, like no matter what you do, it's not going to get better. Like that's 9-year-old me. And like I've worked through that and like spending like quality time with like giving hugs and being like, I see how hard you tried. I understand that you're working hard and you really are trying. And yes, it didn't work out. And like back with 6-year-old me, like working with all the perfectionism, like is like giving myself evidence that like if I mess up, it's okay. If I make a mistake, it's all right. How do I work through that? How am I okay with being wrong? And like not to say that I've solved all these problems, like I'm still working on them. But like now all of a sudden I realize like we've moved ahead of like, now I feel like I'm like a 12-year-old me that's like mad, like it's unfair. Like I tried really hard and it didn't work out and I'm getting hurt for it and I'm mad and like I'm trying to protect the part of me that's hurt, like trying to protect a little 9-year-old me who is doing her best. And like that level of like frustration at the injustice of it all and like, why can't it just be easy? Why does this have to be so hard? And like, that part of me is just like ready to attack and defend. And she's the one who like also like tells little white lies like, oh, I didn't do that. You did this. And like shoves the blame around. And like, she's the one I'm trying to sort through now of like giving her a big hug. I mean, like, I see you. I see how much you're trying to protect and how much you are fighting for justice and like giving her space to be angry And also to know, like, hey, it's okay. Like, there's also another way that we can do this. Like, we don't have to do everything from fight mode. We don't have to attack every time we feel like we might get attacked. And, like, finding the other ways to do things that don't involve that, like, instant reaction. So now in my relationship, like, before I would, like, speed through all of those pieces of me so fast that I didn't even know, like, something was there. I wasn't even aware of them. And now that I have this awareness, it allows me to, like, slow down and notice all these different pieces of me that show up when something goes wrong, that I wasn't perfect, that there was an error, and that I was hurt that it didn't go well. And I did really try hard. And also, like, the injustice of it, of, like, but I thought I did all the things right, and now it's not right, and I'm mad about it. And, like, how do I give myself space to be present and support all those different parts of me that exist? And on one hand, like, it's really scary to open up all those parts of me. And, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, great, like, what am I gonna find next time? I don't know if you guys have ever seen the show United States of Tara. It was really good. Toni Collette, A+. I loved that show. But anyways, random tangent. Go watch the show. It's really good. But understanding and helping each of those parts of me means that I'm able to give support to all of those pieces. And now I can come at these situations of knowing, like, my partner is there for me. He does want the best for me. And coming at it so that both my, like, logical brain and my emotional brain are on the same page means that, like, it's creating these new, how do I want to say that? It's creating new space so that we can create new patterns when we're in conflict. And I'm able to understand how my ADHD has, like, this filter on my life. Like, I always say, I'm not defined by my ADHD. It's not who I am, but it does affect everything, like a filter on a picture. Like, it affects everything in my life. And when I understand myself and my ADHD, that's what allows me to have the freedom to let go of things that aren't serving me and, like, live in so much, like, just being happier, even though, like, my situation hasn't changed. But the way that I look at it is different. My mindset about it is different. And that's what allows me to do things in a different way. Like, I still have the same responsibilities, the same house, the same family, but I'm able to approach them in a different way. So I know now that when I ask my husband for support on something, he wants the best for me. And he's going to help me figure out how to make it work because he knows how much my well-being affects the family. And that I don't have to feel guilty about spending money or time on myself, because things that are truly supporting me and enriching me, like, those things all sow into me, and then my family also reaps the benefit of those things. Like, it's not just me. I'm not the only one that gets the benefit out of it. Like, I want my family to have a stable leader who is confident and capable and knows how to stay in control of my emotions and how to ride through the ups and downs and still stay present in the moment and be there for my family. Because as moms, like, we're the emotional leaders of our families. We're the ones who set the tone for things. And that every time I take care of myself and I'm sowing in good seeds, like, that harvest comes to my family and me. Like, we all benefit from that. So in listening to this, I don't want you to feel guilty about things that you're struggling with, but I want you to release the guilt of taking care of yourself, like, that you can put time and money and effort into yourself, and knowing that it's not just helping you, it's helping everyone around you. It's not selfish. It is a gift to those you love, and it pays in dividends over time, more and more helping you and your family the more that you take care of yourself. So, from one mama who is learning this lesson, as you can hear my voice the hard way continually, I hope that this helps you to know that you can take care of yourself, you can slow down, you can take space and time and money for you, because every time you do, it's good for you and it's good for your family. May you be safe from all these germs, Mama, and I will talk to you soon, successful Mama.
For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.